I should probably send them a text. It's getting really late. Hey, baby, how's work going? At least it's your last day of staying late. Oh, leaving now, be there soon. Okay. I've gotta make sure everything's ready. Lighting, food, blanket nest, candles, and your favorite music. Maybe I should get DVD box out. It is movie night, but they're gonna be really, really tired. Yeah, I should just focus on helping them get to sleep. I make some tea for them. Baby, welcome home. I'm so happy to see you. Give me a hug. Why am I so happy to see you? Because I love you, silly. Now, get in here. I can see how tired you are, and I got a little surprise ready for you. No, you don't have to close your eyes. That's okay. You've been working so hard, so I wanted to help you get a perfect night of sleep tonight, honey. I made you some fresh tea and food. I got all our blankets out and made a nest. And of course, I'll do whatever helps you fall asleep tonight. Okay, baby? Now, let's get you out of those work clothes. How was your day today, baby? Wait, really? That's awful. I'm so glad you're finally done with that project. Yeah, that was way too much to drop on you out of nowhere. You know, sometimes I think that job really doesn't deserve you. Well, I've told you how I feel about that before. I'm sure you don't want to hear about that right now. Do you want to go snuggle? Hey, okay. Let me show you what I've made for you. So, I got a bunch of pillows together to make a little nest on our bed. And there's a spot here where I can sit down and you can lay your head on my thighs. Come here, baby. Lay down with me. How does that feel, honey? Is it comfortable? Aw, I love seeing you relax like this. Here, I'll turn off the light. How are you feeling? I know what you mean, baby. That's the worst, yeah. Your body's tired and you wish you could fall asleep, but your mind is racing, and it just won't happen. Well, that's why I'm here, my love. I'll cast a spell to make you fall asleep. On the count of three, you will fall into a deep, restful sleep. One, two, three. Did it work? Well, I guess I'm not magic yet. Maybe tomorrow. Well, I was reading an article a few weeks ago about some things that can help. Would you like to hear? Okay, so the first one is where you contract all your muscles, starting from your head and going down to your feet. Would you like to do that one? Okay. All right. Start with your forehead and squeeze your muscles. Just like that. And move down to your jaw. Then your neck. Then your shoulders. Chest. Biceps. Forearms and hands, and move back to your shoulders, then go to your chest, then your stomach, thighs, shins, and feet. Does that feel better, baby? Well, you're still awake, so I've got some more work to do, right? Is it okay if I play with your hair a little bit? I'll be gentle. I don't want to keep you awake. Thank you. I really love your hair. It's so soft. Something else that might help you fall asleep is visualizing a nature scene, like a beach or a forest. Yeah, would you like me to help guide your thoughts? Okay, so imagine we're on a beach together. We just finished swimming and now we're relaxing on the sand. There's sand still stuck in your legs and my hand is just resting in yours. The sun is beaming down on us, but there's a cool ocean breeze to keep us comfortable. Gaze out at the ocean and watch the soft waves crashing against the shore. There's a few birds flying overhead, and you can hear them calling to each other. I'm laying next to you, and I turn over to gaze at your cute face. I love you, baby. How are you feeling? You look a little bit more relaxed, but I want to help you fall asleep, baby. Oh no, don't worry, honey. Even if you're just resting, that's still good for you. Don't worry, okay? You're doing amazing, and I love you so much. I have an idea. I could ramble to you for a while about some random stuff. Do you think that might help you fall asleep? Yeah? Okay. I know. Okay. Would you like to hear about some books I read a few years ago? Okay. The first one I want to tell you about is called The Three Body Problems, and it's a trilogy, but I've only read the first one so far. So there's a lot going on, but I would say the central element of the story is this cosmic horror alien invasion threat. But that actually doesn't happen for a long time. So it starts with this scene during the Cultural Revolution in China. That was around the 1960s, and the book was written for a Chinese audience, so I probably didn't get the full significance of it, but basically, a physics professor is publicly interrogated, and they're trying to get him to confess to teaching anti-scientific ideas, but he doesn't give in, and eventually the crowd beats him to death. It was confusing, but I think the idea of it was the intersection of science, politics, religion, and faith, and how they're all linked more than people really think, or maybe more than they should be. So then it goes like 10 years in the future, and it follows a girl who works at Red Sun, which is this secret government program. The book goes back and forth in time and how this is all told, but eventually we figure out that it's actually a radio telescope and transmitter for the purpose of contacting aliens. But they conceal that with a story about it being a giant microwave radiation emitter that the military will use to take down enemy satellites. And then they conceal that story with a story about how it's just a radio telescope. Also, this girl has kind of given up on humanity. Like, she believes that human society is progressing at such a pace that we're not capable of solving our problems ourselves. And she thinks that alien visitation is what we need to save humanity. One night, she sends out a message, basically inviting aliens to visit Earth. And she actually gets a response, which I think is one of my favorite alien first contact messages. So the message is something like this. Do not respond, do not respond, do not respond. I am a pacifist of my society, and it is fortunate that I am the first to receive your message. There are millions of stars in your direction, but if you respond, they will locate the exact location of your planet, and it will be invaded and conquered. Do not respond, do not respond, do not respond. It's so terrifying. Anyway, for some reason, this girl responds and tells the aliens everything they need to know about invading Earth. Then, I'm pretty sure this was the same character. She goes on to basically found a secret society dedicated to helping the aliens invade the Earth. Then, like 40 years later, we follow a Chinese nanomaterial researcher who also happens to be an amateur photography enthusiast. He takes a few pictures like normal, but when he goes to develop them, he finds a countdown appearing in all of them. However, it only happens when he takes the picture. This really freaks him out, but maybe there's some kind of logical reason for this, right? So, what eventually happens is that the countdown appears in his actual eyesight, like right in front of him, no matter where he looks. Even if he stares right into the sun, the countdown appears in bold black numbers. Yeah, he talks to this mysterious woman who kind of knows what's going on, and she tells him to stop doing his nanomaterial work. And when he does, the countdown goes away, but it comes back when he starts again. Also, there's this VR game that he starts playing, and it's one of my favorite parts of the book. It's kind of like a civilization game, but you play as just a single person, and then there's this weird ambiguity about who's a player and who's not, which I think is really cool. So he shows up in the middle of the desert and talks to these two guys who are on a journey to see a king or something. And then they explain that in this world, the motion of the sun is chaotic, and then there's a lot of mysticism surrounding it. Oh, this guy, this guy he meets thinks that he's discovered a way of accurately predicting the motion of the sun, and he wants to present the information to the king of this world. And then there's some rules to figure out, like the fact that the world cycles between chaotic eras and stable eras. Stable eras are basically like what the earth is like, but in chaotic eras, the sun and weather are totally unpredictable. Yeah. Also, there are these things called flying stars, which are like giant shooting stars, and they signify certain things. So basically, the more they are, the worse it is. Anyway, they eventually get to this really cool city where there's these giant pendulums that were built to hypnotize the sun or something, and the guy presents his idea, but it turns out that he was wrong. He predicts that there's going to be a stable era, but three flying stars appear and everyone freezes to death. The game ends, and the nanomaterial researcher goes off to do something else. Eventually, he goes back to the game, logs back in, and a new session has started. Kind of like Sedumir civilization, yeah. This time, there's a character that aims to predict the motion of the sun through mechanical means and comes up with this theory that the planet is surrounded by two shells with holes in them. And then there is a lake of fire surrounding that. This is his explanation for why stars and the sun appear to us the way they do. But this leads to discovery that the sun is actually not a consistent object, and there's a bright core surrounded by a more transparent layer outside. The guy builds a mechanical model of the system, and it kind of works. But what happens this time is that three suns appear in the sky at once, and the heat obliterates the world. Eventually, a third session of the game starts, and this time they try to predict things by using calculus and build a human calculator to solve the differential equations. Basically, there's a massive army, and each one has a flag they can raise. And by arranging them in a certain way, each soldier can follow some simple instruction. And by arranging millions of them, they can make a calculator or computer, basically. So I think this time it actually does work for some time, but they do eventually get obliterated. Then, eventually, the guy goes back for a fourth session and find a super futuristic society where they figure out what's actually going on. Their planet exists in a trisolar system where there are three suns that chaotically orbit each other, and the planet is thrown around between them. Stable eras are when the planet is orbiting around the sun and things are predictable. Chaotic eras are when the planet is randomly moving between them, and the flying stars that they see are actually the other suns, and they appear small because you only see the core from the distance. That was one of my favorite moments. All the weird stuff happening finally comes together, and it makes sense why things are so strange. Then another really crazy reveal. This video game is actually about what the aliens are like. They live on a Trisilurian planet, and things really are like that for them. Then we actually get a perspective on the aliens and what they're like. It's set up in a parallel way to the girl at Red Sun, with the alien who sent the do not respond message earlier. You see that? It's not like the aliens are malicious and evil. They have their own reasons for what they're doing. They discover that because of the chaos of the Trisilurian system, their planet may be destroyed soon, so they need somewhere to go, and Earth is the target. Then, there is this crazy speculative sci-fi thing where they take a proton, which is a ninth dimensional object in some way, which is kind of real science, but it doesn't work like this at all. And they unwrap this ninth dimensional particle into the first dimension and make this light years long string that's infinitely thin, but can still be seen just a tiny amount, despite basically not existing. Then they unwrap it to the third dimension, and these crazy geometry figures appear in the sky, and they get attacked by these sentient geometry creatures that take on different forms. Eventually they succeed and unwrap it to the second dimension, and they ride a super intelligent AI onto the surface of the proton, and then collapse it back down to the ninth dimension so they can accelerate it to basically light speed and send it to planet Earth to prepare it for Trisolar invasion in 400 years. So all that weird stuff at the beginning, where the guy was hallucinating the countdown, are actually a result of this proton moving around inside his eye and creating the illusion. Also, the proton interferes with the Large Hadron Collider and makes it impossible for humans to use it effectively, which will lead to people becoming disillusioned with science and effectively halting all possible scientific progress. So humans won't be able to defend themselves from Trisolaris. Then, when all the humans figure out that all this happened, the proton shows them all a message. You are bugs. I thought that was a really powerful ending, but for some reason there's a few more chapters where the people come to the conclusion that humans have never been able to eradicate bugs, so there is still some amount of hope. I guess I'll have to see what happens in the next book, but I felt like on its own, the You Are Bugs ending is a lot more powerful. Huh. Are you asleep, baby? Good night.